Revelation chapter 4. Let's take time now and look into the precious, precious Word of God. Title of the message tonight is Going, Going, Gone. The challenge is to live like you're leaving. I'm leaving. How about you? I don't know when, but I'm going. One of these days. And I'm closer than I've ever been before. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? John writes, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one set on the throne." Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Live like you're leaving. You know, one of these days, I want you to understand, one of these days, just as sure as we're sitting here and I'm standing before you tonight, one of these days, we're going to get called out of this earth. We're going to experience the rapture. And a step beyond that, we're going to experience the same thing that John experienced in the first part of chapter 4. And one of these days, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're gone. Or let me be more specific, those children of God who've placed their faith and their trust as Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we're leaving. Make no mistake, we're leaving. And verse 1, John looked, it said, John looked and saw a door opened in heaven. And like I said this morning, you know, I sat in my office this afternoon and I can just dream about this. I can sit there and I'm a ponderer. I've told you that before. I can ponder Revelation chapter 4 for a long, long time. John, he looked and he said, behold, a door was open. Now, I want you to understand what he's seeing. I don't think John's seeing a literal door like what we see here, okay? The Greek word door there is entranceway. And they use the same word to describe an opening or a passage or a, like we would say, a vestibule. The vestibule out front. He sees this opening. And it was an entrance into the heaven. And I say the heaven because that's the way it's described in the Greek. It's open in the heaven. It's not just the skies opening up, but John is seeing an opening that leads literally into the throne room of God. The place that every child of God looks forward to. That place that Jesus has said he's gone to prepare a place for us. And if he goes to prepare a place for us, he will come again to receive him, to receive us to himself. Have you ever been in that place, that vestibule, that entrance into a magnificent structure? That's the picture that John is painting here. And he said the first voice he heard was as a trumpet. Now that word voice, it's the Greek is phone or a phone, I think, you know, but it could include a voice or a sound, an utterance, but it also was used to describe musical instruments. I've never heard a voice like a trumpet. Have you? I have never heard a voice like a trumpet, but John says that's the sound that he heard. And he's, again, we're trying to imagine heaven in earthly terms, and that's the best that John can do in describing this voice like a trumpet. It's like nothing we have ever experienced. It's like nothing John has ever experienced, but the voice that he heard was an audible voice. He could understand it. like a trumpet that blasted out the command of God. You know what it said, right? What did this trumpet voice say? What? Come up here. Come up here. Ascend up. Come to this place. And I want you to understand, it wasn't a request. It was a demand. John, I invite you to come see heaven. It wasn't that, okay? It was a command, a demand of Jesus Christ himself. And it says immediately, John was in the Spirit. You know what the word immediately means? Just what it says. Instantly. The second John heard this trumpet, like a flood flooding his soul, he was literally relocated into the entrance of heaven, into the throne room of God. Now, I believe that this occurs at the beginning of the tribulation period. The reason I believe that that's when it occurs is because that's when this occurs. It occurs before all the judgments, before the vials and all that is poured out. We see an exact replica of what God has said in His Word is the rapture. John experienced it here. As a matter of fact, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. We're going to use our Bibles quite a bit tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God." Does this sound familiar to anybody? I mean, almost word for word. "With the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Now, again, the construction of these passages are as such that it's a statement of fact. You know, there are people who say, "I've heard this all my life." It doesn't change the fact, right? It does not change. I know they have been teaching and preaching that Jesus is coming back ever since Jesus left. But it does not change the fact that he's coming back. And there are no ifs, ands, or maybes. He's going to descend with a shout. You know what a shout is, right? A shout's not just a shout. That word shout is a command. A demand, like we said in Revelation there just a moment ago. It won't be a mindless noise. The trumpet, you know, we think, and we've heard this, the trumpet, it's not just a trumpet blast. It is a trumpet command, a demand, an order that says, "Come up here." And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians that the voice of the archangel, the sound of God, then instantly, he says, the dead in Christ will be raised first. And then we, which are alive, how does it put it, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, you've heard me use the illustration of leaving my smoking Nike tennis shoes behind, right? You know where I get that? There's nothing in the Word of God about Nike tennis shoes, all right? But here's where that concept comes from. That word, caught up, it means to pluck up or to be snatched. Friends, when this trumpet sounds, it's going to happen in such a hurry. That voice is going to command, "Come up here," in such a hurry that we're going to leave quick, fast, and in a hurry, right? I mean, we are going to exit just like that. As a matter of fact, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. You want to know what the rapture is going to be like? Here we go. Well, let's read verse 51 while we're there. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Two words I want you to take note of. That word moment, really a neat word. It says, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That word moment is a period of time which cannot be divided. All right? You want to know how long it's going to take you to be transported from this life into the entrance of the throne room of God? It's going to be so quick, so fast, that a stopwatch can't even measure it. Wow. That's where I get the smoking Nikes from, right? That's where that comes from. You will not be standing around and watch as the graves burst open and you think, wow, I'm fixing to leave. The graves are opening up and you watch all. No. That's not the way it's going to be. That shout, that trumpet shout is going to blast and flood your soul, and just almost before you even can hear that trumpet, you're going to be transported out of this life into eternity. I like that, don't you? I like that. Another word I wanted you to take note of says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. How fast is a twinkling of an eye? How quick is that? It's pretty quick, right? And you will be changed. This corruptible, it says, must put on incorruption. That word corruptible means perishing. But incorruption means perpetual, eternal, everlasting. Here it gets better and better the farther you go, okay? Jesus will transform this failing body into a body that will be last, that will last forever. That's what he means when he said, we'll be changed. Now, it depends on your age, whether you can really appreciate this or not. At 49 years old, I'm starting to get a glimpse, okay? That this body does not do what it did when it was 21. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think this body, just to spite me, has pains. Does anybody else do that? It's like you're sitting somewhere, you're not doing anything, you're minding your own business, and like, ow! You know, Beth will look at me and say, what's wrong? Nothing. But it's the body, this body that's perishing, that has been touched and tarnished by sin, is going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And you know, there are times that I have felt good, but I am assured that when I receive that eternal body, I will feel better than I have ever dreamed I could possibly feel. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. There will be no more, don't eat that because it's bad for you. There will be no more heart attacks, no more cancer. No more be careful, wear your seatbelt. This mortal, it says, must put on immortality. That word mortal means liable to death. But you know what immortal means? That means eternal, last forever. You ever wonder what it's going to be like, this new body? Turn to 1 John chapter 3. We'll run over there real quickly. 1 John chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to be like Jesus. You know how Jesus is? You know how Jesus was after he was crucified and he rose from the grave? One of the neatest stories, I think the last part of John chapter 20, is when it says his apostles are meeting. And they're meeting and they have the door locked for fear of the Jews. And you know what happened? Jesus just showed up inside that meeting. He was not restricted to the laws of nature. Now, if you want to know what it's going to be like when this new body, that's one thing I can imagine. You know, you talk about sneaking up on somebody. Right there you can do it. And like I'd said before, no pain, no suffering, no disease. Boy, I'm glad this life is not all there is. How about you? I'm so glad that there is a plan that's going to extend beyond this life. Now, my question to you is, how are you living? Do you have plans for next week? Or the week after? Next month? Next year? Well, now, that's okay. But let me remind you tonight to live like you're leaving. Because one of these days, in a moment, in a split second that is so quick, it cannot even be measured, you're going to depart this world into that open entrance into heaven. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I want to call your attention to one more passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 13, and then we'll close. And I want to challenge you. All those things that are in this world and of this world that we think are so important, I want you to ask yourself, is it really that important? And I want to offer you this. If it doesn't have eternal consequences, it's not really important. Okay? Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Which, by the way, reminds me, when you hear people setting dates, don't ever listen to them. They're a nut. Okay? Putting it mildly, they don't have a clue. The Bible says they don't have a clue. But since we don't know, how are we supposed to get ready? You live every day like it's the last day. Verse 33. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. That word watch means to keep alert. Be ready. Live like you're leaving. Because folks, if you are a child of God, you're leaving. It's not up for discussion. Jesus won't say, do you think it's time? One of these days, and I pray it's soon, we're going to blink and be gone. Are you ready? See, the sad part of this story is not everybody's going. Yeah? Not everybody's going. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, but there are some folks that are going to stay behind, and they're going to experience literally the wrath of God, which will be hell on earth. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, I mean that literally. Friends, are you ready? If you're not a child of God, it's time to get ready, because nobody knows the next time that you blink your eye, we just might be there. And you don't want to be left behind. If you're not a child of God tonight, I want to offer you this. Just as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. And just as sure as anything else, you're going to spend eternity in one of two places. And if you've never called upon Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my friends, you're not saved. Tonight's the night. Man, we've had a magnificent worship service. We've had, and I don't know about you, but I've had a wonderful time reviewing the Scripture, being reminded of what's coming for the child of God. But are you ready? Are you a child of God? If not, my friends, Jesus Christ died for you. He gave His life to pay for your sin debt. And every one of us have a sin debt to pay. Jesus paid it. And He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now tonight, you can call on Jesus and experience the salvation. And then in that moment when that last trumpet sounds, that voice of the archangel, and that moment of the twinkling of an eye, you can go too. You'll go too. Maybe you're here today and kind of got priorities messed up. Again, if it's not eternal, it doesn't really matter. Okay? Maybe this is a time of recommitment, a renewed direction in your life. Maybe it's a time you need to refocus and start living like you're leaving. Because, my friends, we don't know when we're going. That's the key. We live like we're leaving. And when Jesus steps out and calls us home, we're not caught off guard, but rather we're ready. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to be encouraged through Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You are coming again. And You're coming to get Your children. And Jesus, we pray, even so, come soon. Thank You for the day. Thank You for the worship. Thank You for Your Word that's such an encouragement to us. We pray now that Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name.